From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 27th day of October 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. Dave Dickey will be here with all the agricultural news for the day, and Drew Lerner will join us from World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City to discuss the agricultural weather forecast. Along the way, I'll provide some details about the December Ag Masters Conference. It's to be held at the I Hotel here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I, the home of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Taking a look at the numbers as they settled up in Chicago. On this Wednesday afternoon, futures from the December soft red winter wheat pit were up 10 and 3 quarters at 702 and 3 quarters. March at 741 and a half, 10 and a half higher, and July wheat at 770 and a quarter, the new crop up 10 and a half cents in Chicago. Kansas City, hard red, $7.54, up 15 and a half. December corn futures, 577 and a quarter, up 6 and a quarter. March at 590 and a quarter, up 6 and a quarter. And the May, up 6 cents at 596. July contract, 599 and three quarters, up 5 and three quarters. And next year's December in the corn pit at $5.39 and three quarters, 1 and 1 half cents higher. November beans today, $12.23 and three quarters, up 4 and three quarters. January, $12.36, up a nickel. March at $12.42, up 4 and a quarter. May beans, $12.42 and a quarter, 3.5 higher. And November at $11.77 and a quarter, up 6 and 3 quarters. December bean meal, 40 cents higher at $3.35.90. December bean oil at $49.60, up 7 cents on the afternoon. October feeder cattle at $100.50 were down 35 cents. December at $100 even, a dime lower. October, those were live cattle, now the feeder cattle. October feeders at 111.30 unchanged. November's at 111.55, down 30. December lean hog futures at 67.85, 82 and a half cents lower. February futures at $73.80, down 80 cents. And the pork bellies, March contract at $104.50, up 50 cents on this Tuesday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures are trading at $81.94 a barrel, down 61 cents. Ethanol at $2.29.5, up 2 and 4 tenths. November natural gas at $3.29 and 2 tenths, down 6 and 2 tenths. And heating oil or diesel fuel, a penny and a tenth lower at $2.23 and 9 tenths. Gold futures at $1,322.20 an ounce finished $15.80 lower, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average is just about 89 points lower at 11,080. U.S. dollar at 78.13 is up 0.42. The CRB index at 299.14 is down 2.15 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for this afternoon. Sunny skies, a high near 67 in the Urbana-Champaign area. Breezy west wind out of the south-southwest, that is, at about 25 miles an hour. They'll gust all the way up to 44 this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low of 38 degrees. West winds again, 15 to 17, gusting to 24. And Thursday, mostly sunny skies, a high near 51 degrees. West-northwest winds between 14 and 17, gusting to 24. Thursday night should be clear, a low of 28. Northwest winds at 6 to 11. And Friday should be sunny, the high near 54. Northwest winds at 5 to 7. Friday night, mostly clear, a low of 37 degrees. Saturday, mostly sunny, a high near 64. Saturday night, partly cloudy, a low of just 42. Sunday should be mostly sunny, the high of 63. Sunday night, mostly clear in the Urbana-Champaign area, a low of 45. And Monday should be partly sunny for the start of the work week with a high of 60 degrees. More on the agricultural weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the hour and we talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report on a Wednesday afternoon. Let me take time first to thank you, all of those folks that called in with their pledge of financial support for the agricultural programming at Illinois Public Media. We met all of our challenges for the ag programming, including a challenge to catch an extra 200 folks that wanted to support us. We blew through that by several. 236, I think, was the final number. Dave and I did not know that on Monday afternoon. Get this, we averaged one call a minute through the Closing Market Report and the settlement numbers. So that was quite the feat that afternoon. We do appreciate all of your help. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, is on the line with us today to take a look at the agricultural futures markets. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
How are you today?
Great.
Well, everybody's done, and they're probably waiting, maybe not so patiently anymore, to put their anhydrous ammonia on. And in the mean space, they might have an opportunity to give you a call and talk about the marketplace. What are farmers wanting to do now that the bin doors are closed?
Well, there's a lot of questions, and there's major concerns about what to do about selling, $5 new crop corn next year out of the field. Just how high to continue selling old crop corn, what's the acreage going to be, weather conditions, what is really going on in China. But we were rather surprised when we did see that the Chinese are talking about regulators are tightening some of their trading rules in the commodity markets. There was actually some announcements overnight that the Chinese were going to import to commodities, cotton and corn possibly, and other commodities. And there was a lot of profit taking over in the Chinese Commodity Futures Exchange. I think the one factor here, of course, the dollar strengthened, and that sent a nervousness through the marketplace. I understand November 2nd and 3rd is when the policy meeting is going to take place with the Fed. We understand they are going to be buying bonds in the marketplace, but the dollar decline has slowed down a little bit. I think the feeling from the industry is that the Fed, instead of going at 100 miles an hour trying to reduce the value of the dollar, was only going about 10 miles an hour. And as a result of that, we did see some short covering, and people are waiting for this policy to see what happens on November 2nd and 3rd.
If Paul Cooley had his choice, what would you have the Fed do?
Well, I'm going to say there's a lot of political watching on the Fed's part, and also they're doing a lot of listening. And we know Geithner is running the big Air Force 3 jet full throttle between China and the U.S. and a lot of other world trading partners. I think the one thing that I think we are going to see is the jawboning of the dollar going lower is probably good business, and we are going to see a slight pickup in the world financial markets. We have and are seeing the world financial markets improve, so that's good news. And, the stock market's acting pretty good, so we know corn and soybean prices are good, and that's a big push because I think the real financial stream of success is right here in the corn and soybean fields of the Midwest.
Hey, Paul, can you go back to 2008 with me for just a bit and give me your assessment of what's different today than in 2008 in the terms of commodity price rise? In 2008, faced with a large crop, it came in, and prices continued to climb. Today, we've got demand, a shorter crop, but still prices that sometimes make people wonder.
Well, I remember 2008 very well, and of course, one of the big things that happened there was, we got prices up so high where, people stopped, the end user stopped buying new crop corn and soybeans, and the market shot up, and then we had a big production increase. I think the big thing that's different now is that the major grain companies are very successful and can handle capital flows a lot better than I think they could then. And I think as a result of that, I don't think we're going to see any imbalance in the way they handle the prices. I think the other factor is that some of these, that was a real surprise, and I think some of this bullishness that we're seeing now is being factored in, and we are at higher price levels, both on old and new crop corn at this time of year than we were back then. So there is that difference in the you know, a lot of other little things that jump out at me. I think financially, the ethanol industry is probably better managed now than it was back then.
Do the prices as they are make you nervous at all? I suspect not at this point, but maybe I'm wrong.
I think the ag industry is in fairly good shape, and no, I think I think we're in pretty good shape here in agricultural land.
Okay. What other things did you want to talk about today to make sure that we got
well, I think that the one factor here is, of course, the general feeling is that the we're talking about a bushel less corn yield per acre. Right. China probably will buy 2 million tons of corn in the future. The general feeling I think we are looking at is that the soybean demand is so tremendous here that the crush margins indicate that the demand is good, and it's mainly improving the feed rations in China. So those all add up to some very positive deals. And, you know, hopefully our U.S., the rest of the U.S. economy will improve, and, of course, that should help, the beef and pork and the livestock industry.
What spurred the dime rally in the wheat market for the afternoon?
Well, I think that there's a feeling that China is going to show interest in developing some inventory of wheat. Mm-hmm. Continues to be dry in western Kansas. And the other factor is some of the weather people are continuing to predict, maybe not this week, but some dryness in Argentina.
Okay, thank you so much.
Have a problem.
You too.
Day.
Hey, you too, Paul. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Wednesday afternoon. If you'd like to hear Paul again, you can always do that on our phone lines. You can dial this number, 217-333-3434. That's 217-333-3434. We update the phone lines at 10:15 and 3:15 daily. Or, of course, you can visit our website at willag.org.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Your Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey, is here now with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, the Commodity Futures Trading Commission yesterday laid out plans for how it could use new and beefed-up legal tools to foil traders who seek to manipulate prices or defraud investors. The rules, which will apply to all markets overseen by the CFTC, including swaps, would also create a broad catch-all anti-fraud provision that does not require the CFTC to prove a trader fully intended to cause fraud. The CFTC also says it wants to ask for comments on whether to crack down on certain practices used by high-frequency traders, such as, quote, stuffing. South American agricultural giants Brazil and Argentina have signed a strategic cooperation deal to boost their farm exports. The agreement will coordinate strategies at international forums, increase two-way technology transfers, jointly seek new markets for their farm products, and cooperate to add value to their goods. The two countries also agreed to boost cooperation on biofuels sales and on biotechnology issues, especially genetically engineered seeds. Saskatchewan's securities regulator will hear BHP's challenge to Potash Corporation's shareholders' rights plan on November 8th and 9th, assuming the federal government allows BHP's $39 billion bid to proceed. In documents filed with the Saskatchewan Financial Services Commission, BHP seeks to suspend the rights plan. The plan would take pressure off Potash while it waited for a rival bid to emerge. BHP offered to buy the world's largest fertilizer supplier in late August. The United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization has started distributing more than 20,000 tons of wheat seeds in Pakistan, where floods have threatened a key wheat planting season. The food security of tens of millions of people is at stake with the current planting season after floods earlier this year destroyed 500,000 to 600,000 tons of wheat seeds and more than 2.4 million hectares of land. China's National Grain and Oils Information Center says Chinese companies have booked about 250,000 tons of soy oil this week, mainly from Argentina, for March to May shipment. The new purchases would raise China's total imports from South America this month to 400,000 tons. The government has released nearly 300,000 tons of rapeseed oil reserves last week to try to cool price rises. Domestic media reported that retailers have also raised soy oil prices by 10%, which could help drive up the country's inflation rate, which hit a 23-month high at 3.6% in September. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. And this week, next week, and maybe part of the following week of the Illinois Corn Growers Farm Bill Listing Sessions. You can find more about them online at ilcorn.org. Now up next, something else for your calendars. The Ag Masters Conference from the U of I is scheduled for the second and third day of December at the U of I's iHotel and Conference Center. I'll have all the details. Four advanced sessions have been added to this year's Ag Masters program, and the general session has been shortened to meet producers' needs, says University of Illinois Extension entomologist and Ag Masters Conference coordinator Mike Gray.
It's a two-day program. Last year was our inaugural run with the Ag Masters Conference. Little different format this year. We responded to suggestions from participants last year and modified the program to meet their expectations, and we hope and believe we can deliver on that. Bottom line, the two-day conference, the first half day on December 2nd, will be a general session. The following afternoon and the next day will be breakout sessions, advanced sessions, classroom style, intensive instruction, two-hour periods with instructors. And the registrants can pick and choose what classes they're most interested in.
This is a tight conference, and there are just 160 seats available. During the December 2nd general session, speakers will focus on climate change and its impact on Illinois agriculture, with a special emphasis on weed management challenges. The advanced sessions will mirror classroom settings, but interaction from the participants is very welcomed. Classes will be limited to 40 participants per session. Each advanced session runs for 2 hours and will be repeated once, says Mike Gray.
Well, during the advanced sessions, we have a number of different topics. There are 12 altogether. And one thing that we've really tried to create with this particular conference is, you know, bringing in instructors from other campuses to give our audience a chance to hear different perspectives. For instance, we've got Bob Nielsen from Purdue University coming over to talk about row spacings and plant populations in corn. We've got Larry Steckel coming up from the University of Tennessee to talk about glyphosate-resistant weeds, lessons learned in Tennessee. We've got Ann Dorrance coming over from Ohio State University. She'll be discussing soybean and corn seedling disease management and seed treatments. Matt O'Neill from Iowa State University. Matt is a graduate of the University of Illinois, but he's now a professor over at Iowa State. And he'll be talking about aphid-resistant soybeans and whether or not insecticides are needed.
Registration for the Ag Masters Conference is open now, but is limited to the first 160 registrants. And sign-ups for the advanced sessions will be on a first-come, first-served basis. The cost is $300 or $325, depending on when you register. Registration's available online. Search Google for Ag Masters Illinois. Ag Masters is one word. Or call toll-free 800-321-1296. That's 800-321-1296. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and Moline. More information is available from Mike Carey and Morris at 815-941-2189. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media Radio, media from Urbana-Champaign. It is a Wednesday afternoon. On Wednesdays, we always talk to the folks in Delphi at the Climbers facility there that belongs to the Andersons. Good afternoon to you, I hope. Oh, they're still looking for somebody. She was frantically looking around. I wondered whether it was just here and what was happening. They must be busy there. And we'll see what whether they come up with somebody or not shortly. I heard somebody there. Hi.
Hi. I'm looking for a grain buyer. Give me just 1 second, okay?
That's okay. I'll just hang on. I've got only about a minute, so
okay.
That's all right. Thank you. Oh, that's kind of funny. Anyway, when they show up, if they show up, we'll talk to them. In the meantime, let me talk to you a little bit about things that we have happening here at the radio stations from Illinois Public Media. Of course, always our Will Ag website. That's willag.org. You can call us on voicemail at 217-333-3434. Dave Dickey is out and about with his panels. If you want an ag panel to come to your hometown, you can check our calendar at willag.org and call Dave. He'll schedule an ag panel. Somebody asked me this morning if those were all open and free, and almost always they're open and free. So if you see one and you'd like to go to one, don't worry about it. Just go and show up. They're almost always open and absolutely free. Those ag panels, Dave Dickey does a great job, takes our analyst out with them on the road. Once again, you're listening to Illinois Public Media. It is a service of the University of Illinois. Thanks for being with us. In just a couple of minutes, I'll return and we'll talk with the folks at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City about the ag weather. This is Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
It's American Beer Day. Beer is the world's oldest and most widely consumed alcoholic beverage, and it's the world's third most popular drink after water and tea. Some of mankind's earliest known writings refer to production and distribution of beer. The earliest Sumerian writings contain references to beer as early as the 5th millennium BC. On this day in agricultural history in 1811, Isaac Singer was born. An American inventor, he designed the first continuous stitch sewing machine. But one of his biggest inventions was a new way of marketing to consumers. He spent millions of dollars on advertising and made purchasing affordable by offering installment credit. In 1919, Congress overturned President Woodrow Wilson's veto of the Volstead Act, which ushered in prohibition. The act made it a crime to manufacture, sell, barter, transport, import, export, deliver, furnish, or possess any beverage containing over 0.5% alcohol. And in 1920, KDKA in Pittsburgh received a license from the U.S. Department of Commerce to broadcast. But their first radio show, Returns of the Harding Cox Election, did not occur till a week later. They had to wait for the license to arrive at the station. It was the first radio program to reach an audience of any size in the U.S. About 1,000 people tuned in. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Wednesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us to talk about the agricultural weather forecast is Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
And you still want to talk about the windy weather we're having and when it'll lay down?
Well, I think we can do that. Certainly the wind has been a very significant factor across the northern parts of the Midwest in particular, where the speeds have really been outrageous here the last couple of days. Running sustained wind speeds in the 20 to 35 miles per hour. That means that for an entire minute, the wind is blowing at least 30 miles per hour. That's amazing. And wind gusts in many of these cases are getting into the 50 to 60 and even yesterday to 70 miles per hour. A lot of impact across the region, some damage to farm structural buildings, and there's been some issue for some of the unharvested corn in a few fields where there's been some lodging take place. The lower parts of the Midwest have not been nearly as impacted by the wind as the upper portions of the Mississippi River Basin have, and at this point, I don't think we're going to see the wind get very much further into the heart of the Midwest, but it will still be breezy across the area from Illinois into Michigan, but not nearly what the northwestern areas will be experiencing.
On the backside of it, will it be colder?
It will turn cooler across a big part of the Midwest, and temperatures may actually be near normal for a little while. I don't think we're going to fall below normal for very long. We're going to be looking at high temperatures running in the 40s and 50s across a fair amount of the Midwest, with the exception of the eastern parts of North Dakota and parts of Minnesota, where some 30-degree highs will occur the next couple of days. But the lower parts of the Midwest will probably see 50 and lower 60-degree readings, which really isn't that far away from what it should be at this time of the year. We've become rather spoiled by the very warm autumn weather this year, and when it turns cooler out there, everyone's going to think it's pretty darn cold, but in reality, we're just going to be close to normal for a little while. We're going to turn around and warm things back up again, by the way, as we go into the weekend and on into next week with near to above average temperatures expected once again.
I must say that producers, farmers, probably would like it to cool down because they'd like some 50-degree soil temperatures to start putting some anhydrous on. They're going to get close, but maybe no cigar just yet. Turn your attention to other growing regions around the planet. Are you watching anything in particular?
Well, of course, everyone is still watching South America, and that is the area of most interest right now, mainly because of the fact that we're so late getting started in some fields, getting the soybean crop in the ground. And that has hurt some of the production potential in parts of Brazil. But, you know, they've got such a huge window of opportunity to put the crop in the ground that the impact is not going to be that great until we add in the fact that we are looking for an opportunity for drier-than-usual conditions to evolve in southern portions of Brazil in the December-January time period. This is part of our long-range outlook. We've been suggesting this to our customers here for the past few weeks, and we still feel fairly strong about that as a possibility. Not only southern Brazil, but eastern Argentina and Uruguay will all be involved with some drier than usual conditions when we get into the December-January time period. And as you know, that's approaching the reproductive season, so the impact on South America might get a little bit more interesting. But for the next couple of weeks, next few weeks actually, we're probably going to see the marketplace respond to the better rains that are going to be occurring for a while. So a little temporary pullback and then watch out for what happens later down the road.
Thank you so much, Drew.
Have a great afternoon.
Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report. Please do visit us online at willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason.